Hi, I'm Arti.
And I'm Lucille.
Welcome to
the Swan Effect Podcast.
Money makes the world go round, yet it's not so easy to understand its complexities, particularly when it comes to investing.
And that is why Arti and I are taking it upon ourselves to educate, inspire, and help you gain confidence in your relationship with money,
so that you can better manage your finances and investments.
We are two women in finance.
That sounds so cool when you say it like that, Lou. Women in finance, ooh la la.
Well, we are. You've been in stockbroking, private wealth management, and asset management.
And you're still in asset management, a certified financial planner, and at the coalface when it comes to where and how people are investing, both getting it right and getting it wrong.
And stuck in the gray area too. So if you're looking to get unstuck, feel empowered, and make some strides in how you tackle your money,
take a listen to our episode. Women play a pivotal role in the fabric of life. Not only is our superpower the ability to create and bear life, but we are emotionally equipped to deal with the nurturing and growing, and also are mindful of the wider web of influence and control we can have. Women can do it all and have been doing so for centuries, despite the barriers that have stalled our progress. And yet, we women overcome. However, in the 21st century, women often still feel very insecure about their financial matters in many respects, and mainly due to many social barriers that have created these dilemmas, such as the dominant male figure in the household, who typically takes primary responsibility for the financial affairs with little input or discussion with their partner. A soft form of exclusion that actually is, which creates a lack of confidence in a woman's ability to understand financial affairs. Yet, the level of empowerment a woman can secure from knowing how to save, how to invest, and also to secure their financial future cannot be emphasized enough. Because the locus of control actually lies with you, listeners, and all of us too, we at the Swan Effect Podcast really want to be able to help you to take control of that narrative towards your personal financial freedom.
Absolutely, Arti. And our guest today is Lesego Monareng. Lesego is the founder and CEO of KLU Wealth and Legacy Management. She's a certified member of the South African Financial Planning Institute, better known as FPI. She has in excess of 14 years relevant experience in wealth management. Lesego started her career as a paraplanner at a boutique wealth management advisory firm. She has experience with working with one of South Africa's private banks, and her experience as a wealth manager allows her to provide expert advice to clients in relation to investment, tax, and retirement planning, both onshore and offshore. She is particularly passionate about estate planning affairs, and this is, of course, an integral part of effective transfer of wealth. Lesego is a regular media expert speaking on wealth and financial planning matters. Lesego, welcome to you. Thank you so much for joining us on the Swan Effect Podcast.
Thank you, ladies, and happy Women's Month to you, ladies.
Happy Women's Month. Yay.
Thank you. And to you as well, Lesego. Okay, so let's get into it. And let's start with a very basic, but actually very complex question too. What is the identity of a woman in a South African context, and perhaps even globally too? And how does this impact her confidence with handling money and other financial matters?
So, Arti, I look at the woman around me. The South African woman represents the strongest pillar in our society, in my opinion. I look at the woman around me. I look at the woman who raised me. I look at the woman I work with, and I really have high accolades in terms of who and what woman represents. We keep everything together, our homes, our workplaces, and even our money. This nature, the ability for us to also nurture relationships, and our responsibilities never cease. So we have so much on our plates. I look at also how we've advanced in our careers. So we are occupying great roles. We are more independent. We also carry heavier financial burdens. So what this means is that, you know, to the fact that we are everything to everyone does hamper or does disadvantage financially. So what it means is that women tend to take a back seat in terms of their own financial planning. So what that means is that we will look after our children, we will look after our homes, our fridges are full, we will shop, we will make sure that we shop on the best deals, we look after our parents and our siblings and also our marriages. But our own personal financial planning is often left unattended to, and that unfortunately is a disadvantage when it comes to women and our own personal money.
That is so true. That is so true. And in fact, Lesego, what you've just mentioned as well, it ties in with the discomfort that young girls feel also in terms of just investing in general. And I think this is an echo of, you know, those traditional gender roles that are in fact assigned to us as women from a young age, or as girls from a young age. What role do parents play in ensuring that both girls and boys are confident not only in themselves but also in their financial futures?
So our first experience with money has a significant impact on our future financial successes. In my line of work, I've seen many instances where we undermine how irrational we can be with when it comes to making money decisions. So often what happens is if you start probing on why we make these kind of financial decisions, it's honestly based on your childhood experiences, how you were raised, and what you saw in your home and how your parents or your mother dealt with money. So as an example, what it means, people that grew up where their parents were entrepreneurs, they tend to be more receptive to being entrepreneurs. They tend to take bigger risks. They understand money. They understand profits and money, making money and margins and break-even points. So with someone who perhaps has experienced financial loss. So if you speak to children that, for example, where they lost a home or they lost a parent and it affected them financially, they tend to be a little bit more sensitive to risk. They also drives them a lot more, because that financial despair will have such a big impact in terms of how they view money. So our upbringing, what we see in our homes, is absolutely crucial. So as an encouragement, I think, to parents, I think we need to be very aware of what we say in terms of when we are talking about money, when we're talking about the finances, the budgeting, and also shy away from creating a negative. I think often, you know, we'll say things like there's no money in the house. So we need to be very aware of, because those words will echo and will affect
into their lives. Yeah.
Exactly. They will echo into their lives. They will, if there's always money and, there's never, children don't understand that there is a limit. Money is a limited resource. You know, they don't actually appreciate money. So you do need to be very cognizant. And what I always say to parents is that you need to extend a positive relationship, and encourage healthy money habits, financial planning, because ultimately what you're doing will lead to financial success. What I encourage my clients and what they should do is, I mean, with children, it's quite easy to get to. So things like where you introduced where pocket money is earned. So children need to understand from a young age that money doesn't fall from trees. Yeah. So you work hard for the money that they get, and again, it's encouraging and unlimited. You know, they mustn't think money, there's a continuous supply. There is a relationship of working hard for the money. So introduce an element where they have to earn their pocket money. And also I would encourage them, when they have earned that pocket money, pay it to them over a monthly period or a week, And what that does is encourages children to know, I've got 100 rand and I need to have this 100 rand last me for the whole month. So they need to, it introduces a planning element to their pocket money. Whereas if every time a child wants ice cream and you give them 10 rand, they can't actually plan for their pocket money. So introduce the element of paying it for them, and they need to be responsible for how they, how that money will last them. And then also, when you are paying them, discuss the money, discuss what are your plans. So I'm giving you 100 rand. What do you plan on achieving with this 100 rand? And also, say, this is, we are in August now. In December, what is it that you would want to achieve? So introduce the element of planning and people, children striving for goals. Because what that does, it also encourages delayed gratification.
You're quite right, Lesego. And such beautiful tips and advice in terms of how we can get our children geared towards a better relationship with money. Absolutely. And I loved what you said earlier as well, because it's so true. The home environment actually plays such a big part in shaping our stories of and with money. And I even think back to, for example, when our parents were growing up, you know, the different career options that were available for women specifically. I mean, even that was so different. You either were a nurse or a teacher or a social worker. And that was kind of it. Now it's so exciting that women are taking up space in previously very male dominated occupations. So, you know, for our women, for our girls, what are some of these career options that they can now tap into and venture into?
Oh, this is so exciting. I mean, when I look at the workspace from when I first started working to where we are now, it is actually so exciting because, you know, if I look at my area of work and my line of work as a financial planner, there are many options available. When I first started, I was easily the only woman in the room, the youngest woman in the room, and at that time, the only black person in the room doing I'm doing.
So
we've come a long way since, but there's still definitely a lot of representation that needs to happen. So if you look at financial planning, and you know, it's an area I also kind of got into it by accident. I had no idea what financial planning, what wealth management was. So what I would encourage, I would definitely encourage women. So if I can just also just, you know, quickly give you a brief understanding. So financial planning is the process where we help clients navigate their finances. This is done by assisting clients to draft financial goals and give advice on how to use or how to achieve their financial goals. So if you look at a typical South African family, not a lot of us actually have financial plans. We, you know, we make money and we spend it. But if you, so as a career, there is a lot of work that still needs to happen in terms of teaching clients about money, helping them draft their goals and giving them the solutions and how they can achieve that goal. And I always say, as a woman, we have a competitive advantage in this field particularly, because it allows us to use our emotional side of things. So women, we are generally naturally more caring and nurturing. And that actually allows us to relate to clients a lot better. So we do have that advantage. And then the nice thing about the financial planning element is that we also have the technical abilities. So it's a great career if you want to, for women, because we allow to use both sides of the spectrum. We naturally allow our emotive side, and it's matched with the technical solutions that we're able to come up with solutions. So I'm excited about what's to come.
I'm excited just by what you've just mentioned as well. I think a career in financial planning, you know, where you're helping clients navigate their finances is definitely an exciting one. Lesego, you also spoke about the technical abilities, you know, that are needed in this career as well. And I'm, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, also for most girls, you know, investing, it evokes the idea of a male-driven industry, as you mentioned earlier. And of course, I think they are in large part correct. If you consider all the jargon that comes along with it, together with the technical abilities, a lot of the jargon comes in there as well. It can be intimidating, I think, for a lot of people. How do we make, how do we get more young women interested in financial markets? You know, it is such an exciting career. What do you think are some of the reasons that we don't see enough women actually taking up profession in the financial industry?
So, Lucille, interesting enough, and this is something that, you know, I'm learning, women are not very confident. So we actually are very good with money, to be honest. Women tend to be good with money, but we lack the confidence element of it. I was part of another seminar earlier in the week, and what they actually say is that men on the other side are actually less, men are less technically able, but are more confident. So a man can come and fake it till they make it. Where women, we know we actually are better with money, but we lack the element of the confidence. So that plays a huge role. So I think that's probably why it's kept us back in so many ways, in terms of occupying these roles, in terms of, so it's, you know, why we would rather lean towards the relationship side of things as opposed to the technical abilities. It's a confidence thing. So, and I must be honest, it is quite intimidating when you look at numbers. If you're not a number person, you look at numbers and you're thinking, oh, I don't want to make a mistake. So one of the things that we can do to change this is, number one, the confidence. Be confident. And how we can improve on the confidence is to basically be more financially literate. So it's a matter of hearing about this. So there's a lot of there's not a lot of talk. If you think about the circles that we occupy, our dinners, we don't talk a lot about money. So what happens is that it's very taboo to talk about finances. So I would say women need to be asking more questions. We need to be actively being curious and finding out, how does this actually work? So often, if you look at where we come from, you would have, you know, a husband and wife, they will go and consult with a bank manager and a male bank manager, and the husband will go on and on and on and on. And the woman is often sidelined and, you know, doesn't feel comfortable in asking questions or doesn't have the space or the, you know, the confidence. So we need to change that. We need to change that. We need to be, because it affects us, you know. So I would say women need to be, we need to engage more. And also we need to create our own safe spaces. It's easy for us. Women, we interact and we're social beings. So in these kind of spaces, in these kind of dialogues, these platforms, in terms of what we're doing here today, I would encourage women to create safe spaces and also to ask questions, to talk about issues that affect us. You know, we are mothers, we are wives, we are single. Those issues we need to understand, and it has to make sense for us. I think, again, I can't emphasize how we need to take an active role in occupying these roles. It's not, you know, one of the things that I also, you know, if you're not invited at the table, you need to create the space at the table. Yes. So we need to take ownership of these issues. One of the other things that I also learned is that women tend to, so what they say, we are hesitant to seek professional advice. Again, that needs to change. If you're not comfortable in that area, speak to someone who is an expert. Find someone who you can speak to that you are comfortable in. You know, just because you go to the bank or you seek an advisor, if you don't connect, find somebody else who you will connect with. Because if you're able to connect, then you'll feel more confident to ask questions and to open up. So I would say women must create our own spaces, and we need to take it by the bull. We need to grab the bull by its horns and make and create these opportunities for ourselves.
Yeah, you're quite right, Lisekho. And, you know, whether it's taking control, whether it's financial literacy, it all comes with practice and with actually doing. And I think that's the important thing. They're taking that first step
and then continuing those steps because absolutely. Practice is what makes it perfect. Like, absolutely. So in that vein, mm-hmm. how then can we ensure that we actually are helping women take that step to become involved in their finances, involved in managing their money? And why is it so important that they build towards their own financial freedom?
So I see exactly that. Gone are the days where you could just be a sideline in terms of what happens with the finances in our lives. Mm-hmm. I always say, by virtue of the fact that women have a higher life expectancy, that alone says it is imperative to ensure that our money outlives us. So mm-hmm. the chance of us, of a husband passing away, you know, they say on average women live 6 years longer than your spouse. So it becomes imperative then to know exactly that where is in that time, where is your money going to come from? And in addition to living longer, we also have unique risk factors that pertain to women. So if you look mm-hmm. at our health, the cancer, your breast cancers, mm-hmm. your cervical cancers, we are actually exposed. So we need to understand how those unique aspects are going to impact your finances. I've seen it so often, divorce, where, you know, you don't play an active role in finances and then you bank on being, you know, a dependent. And then 20, 30 years into career, you get divorced. How will that impact you? So also, you know, adverse economic and career factors. So there's a lot that changes all the time. COVID was one such element. So yes. We need to be ready. We need to be prepared. We need to understand how our finances, we need to own our own finances. Mm-hmm. So gone are the days where, you know, it's a nice to have. Financial planning is a nice to have or a luxury. It's actually becoming critical. The woman, people that were well prepared or that had, for example, emergency funding during COVID, people that had proper risk products and during COVID actually got through the pandemic quite okay. And it's because they were well prepared. So we need to be prepared. We need to understand. We need to be well equipped to deal with life as it happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Lisa, you know, I think financial planning is definitely a necessity. You know, it's so critical for building towards, you know, financial freedom. But, you know, I think one of the hurdles or the stumbling blocks in our way to financial freedom is this thing called the gender pay gap. You know, women are paid less than men. And, you know, this is, I think, because we generally shy away from asking for what's rightfully ours. And again, maybe it's a confidence issue that you mentioned earlier. It could be a confidence thing. What tips do you have for a woman who is, say, currently negotiating with a potential employer? What would you say to them?
So you're right, Lucille. It definitely is a confidence thing. I think we have a lot of work to do in that area. Research says, you know, women earn some 30% less than our male counterparts. And this is something that's been going on from the beginning. It's still happening. And I can personally relate to this. When I worked in corporate, I knew I was earning much less than what I was worth. So it's something that we need to address, and it's a journey. And, you know, again, we need to take ownership and deal with it head on. But what I'm also learning personally, I must say, I'm going to steal, and I've seen my male counterparts do this a lot better than I do, is to be less emotional when negotiating. So in my mind, I always feel like, you know, I have to justify, and I, you know, I'll take things. So I'll look at my performance review and I would easily, you know, say, yeah, I would know I'm worth something, but it's easy for me. And I will just, my knowledge would just remain in the emotions. Mm-hmm. So I would say when you are preparing for your next review, I would recommend you list hard facts about your contribution to the bottom line. So instead of saying, I'm very good, or say I'm very good, this is what I've actually done. So this is my sales have increased 20% since the quarter, or since I started. I've contributed X amount. I've contributed 100,000 extra to the bottom line. If it wasn't for my effort, this fact. So you need to be prepared and list the facts. Forget the emotions. Everybody knows you work hard. Prove it. prove it and use facts to and also if it's the facts are not there, you know, put that as a benchmark to say, if I'm able to do this by the next quarter or the next review, can we have this discussion again? You know, so yeah. When people review this and or understand what they want to see. So if your manager says, you're not doing well or the business is not doing well, tell them, what do I need to do to change my salary?
Yeah.
Exactly. List, give me goals, give me actual hard numbers to say, if I'm able to reach this target, this is what then we'll, you know, look at reviewing. So again, it's just removing the emotions out of it and dealing with facts. Because that's easy to manage, that's easy to monitor, and that's easy to influence over time.
Yeah, you know, in fact, it's so key what you're talking about. And in fact, I actually wrote an article for Forbes recently published, Lesejo, talking about the emotionality that actually comes into feedback sessions like this, where, you know, you're negotiating a salary. And one of the things I actually push for is exactly what you said. Stick to the facts, because it's in the opinions that where that emotional element comes in. And of course, emotion equals stress.
Amen.
You know?
That's so true. Yeah.
So, and I know Old Mutual, they do their regular savings and investment monitor. And the recent one actually said that 62% of women experience higher financial stress compared to 53% of men. So, I mean, we're talking about the emotional element as one part of it, but what are some of the other things? Why do you think women are feeling financial stress?
So, sure, that's so sad, hey? And I can completely, I see it in my clients and in my engagement. So I can definitely, I didn't realize it was that high.
It's high, exactly.
So,
yeah.
There must be a number of factors. I think it's a combination of different things. But I think the nature of us being women means that we're also caregivers. It's a natural instinct. It's a natural part of our being. So what it means is that, you know, it's very easy for a man to, I mean, I look at in my home, my dad with the last, if there's like the last 100 rand, he can easily go buy himself a pack of cigarettes and whatever it is. But if it's my mother, she, you know, with the last 100 rand, she would make sure the children have enough bread, the children, you know,
make it last.
She will stretch it for days. You know, so what it means is that the nature of us, we stretch what we are given, and we naturally serve those around us. And if you think about also where we are as a country, another sad reality is that there is a high number of South African households that are headed by single women. So women, we stress, we look after children, and often by ourselves. It adds a lot of pressure if you don't have a partner or somebody supporting you at home. So those factors can definitely add a lot of stress. I mean, there was a recent study as well with Momentum that showed how women were actually the hardest hit by the pandemic during lockdown. What actually happened, women were, in addition to you working or doing online working, we had to be the ones that are cleaning the homes. We had to be the one that are making the food, looking after the children with homeschooling. So all of those aspects over and above what is expected out of us, we still have those additional responsibilities. So women actually, some of them actually left their employment. So if you look at, for example, somebody who works, if you look at a domestic worker, for example, because of lockdown, she couldn't work. And that meant that she would be the one that would have to stay home, look after all the other, whereas it was easier for a man to continue looking or seeking other forms of employment. So women are, by the additional societal responsibilities we have, are stretched, and our money is equally stretched.
Yeah,
because it's caring for much more than ourselves.
And, you know, Lesejo, I think, you know, because women are taking on more responsibilities in the home, as you've, you know, rightfully mentioned, because of the lockdown, we've seen that debt traps, they've become the number one reason that deprives individuals, but I think women in particular, of their financial independence. Yeah. What do you think are some of the things that we can do, or what women can do in particular, to manage their debts better now that they are taking on a lot more responsibility?
So that's true. Listen, we have a long way to go in terms of our debt levels as a country. We have high levels of, and I think one of the biggest reasons is the high level of financial illiteracy. So it's definitely a contributing factor. So what it means is that when we're signing on new debt, we don't understand the structures. We don't understand the interest levels that we've been charged. We don't understand what it's going to cost us. So we need to be more financially literate. We need to understand debt quite a bit. So, some of the tips that I would advise is to exercise delayed gratification. We need to learn to save for things. So again, often the material things we buy, we can save over time. So if you think of buying a TV today versus saving for it in 12 months time, it's a lot cheaper if you save for it than if you buy today on credit and you end up paying for it over 12 months in any way. It's often a lot more expensive if you do it like that. So, and this is something, again, we expect our children to exercise delayed gratification, but yet we fail so dismally at this, and we need to get better at doing this. Like learning to save for things. I would say budget. Often you need to plan for your spending. It's quite normal for us to just go to the shops and do whatever we need to do. So failing to plan to spend often results in us running out of money. So if you have 1,000 rand and it needs to get you through from one day of the month to the end of the day of the month, if you're not planning for it and you have impulsive spending, often you're going to run out of money. And by running out of money, it means then you need to rely on debt to cover the shortfall at the end of the month. So if you're able to budget, if you're able to plan for your spending, you will most quickly get rid of a lot more debt than what we're incurring. We need to learn to save for emergencies. Again, people that did this well were managed to get through a lot of adverse circumstances. So again, I always say it's proper adulting. We are adults. Mm-hmm. We need to do the right thing.
It is, yeah.
Save for emergencies. It's not something, life is so unpredictable. We know these things will happen. Plan for it and save better. And this is more of a behavioral, the last tip I would say, know your weaknesses. We can plan, we can save, we can, delay our goals or delay or save longer for things, but we also need to be very aware of the human element of money. So we are going to make mistakes. So I always say, if you know you are, a sucker for Woolies sales, avoid the Woolies sale. Don't go there. So again, if you have spending or if your weakness is nails and grooming and beauty, if you know that you're going to the beauty parlor to get your nails done, leave your card at home. If it's going to cost you 400 rand, take your 400 rand and go there. Because if you don't know your weaknesses, when you get there, they will have a bra special or a waxing this or waxing that. Mm. So then you end up getting tempted to spend money that you didn't plan for.
Yeah.
So know your weaknesses and plan around it. You actually need to trick yourself into disciplining. So it's hard, but you need to trick yourself, know your weaknesses, and you will become more financially successful over time if you're able to follow some of these tips. So delayed gratification, budget, save for emergencies, and know your weaknesses.
Such beautiful tips, Lesego. And you know what? They're actually not that difficult to implement. It's like we were saying earlier, we get stuck into it and we practice it. That habit just becomes automated, actually. And it's such a great habit to build out. But you know, the thing that triggered for me, as you were talking about knowing your weaknesses and knowing the things that you typically would want to avoid as well sometimes, because you just don't want to go there. One of those things is retirement and estate planning.
Yep.
And typically those decisions are left to the male spouse or the male figure in the house. Now, obviously, you know, if you're married, if you're a couple, it's important to actually do that together. Maybe sketch out for us, Lesejo, you know, why is that togetherness of how you're approaching retirement and estate planning? Why is that so key? And obviously, as you mentioned earlier, we do know that there's a gender retirement gap. There's that lifespan that you mentioned. So we need to take all of that into account. Explain to us why we need it.
Death in its nature is quite traumatic. So if you have a husband and wife, you know, the last thing you want is to be burdened with administration and the additional stress of being financially disarrayed in the event of a death of a loved one. Mm-hmm. So because we're a family and you have two forces in one, if you were to remove the one force, it will have a financial impact on the home. So it is absolutely important to plan in unison as best as you can for this eventuality. I say eventuality because we know death will eventually happen. What I often see is often women, you know, we are left confused. We don't know where to start, in the event of a loved one's death. So we can definitely avoid this. So as a result of this, we also make poor financial decisions. So if you don't understand what is going on or how much money you have or what are the expenses that are going to be payable, how much money you need to run the household, it often leads to poor financial decisions, and that lack of continuity in estate planning often result in wealth being destroyed. I have a recent life experience where the husband died and the mom is left and she has to pull the children out of private school, and it's because she has no idea how much provision the husband has made. She has no idea how much money there is, and you know, she's making those kind of decisions. So it is absolutely important. And what I often say is estate planning is very tricky and it can be quite a draining exercise because nobody likes talking about death. We don't even want to think about it. So what people also don't know about death is that it can be a costly exercise. So when there's death beyond the funeral, there may be additional taxes, there's legal costs, executor's fees, there's a master's fees, there's all these fees that suddenly become payable. So in order to prepare, I would suggest that a family, you need to get together, sit down and understand what is going to happen. If the mother dies, if the father dies, if they die together, what will the children do? Who do they go to? Who do they live with? Who isn't responsible for the home? So to get this done and to do it well, I would recommend the use of a professional, an expert who can assist you in your estate planning, just so that you are well prepared for this.
Yeah, I mean, as a family, just seeking professional help when it comes to estate planning is so important. And of course, Lesejo, you are particularly passionate about estate planning in your business.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And as a female business owner yourself, and a successful entrepreneur yourself, what would you advise current and future business owners when it comes to managing their business finances? And I think in particular women, how does managing business finance differ to personal finances?
I'm learning quite a couple of tricks as a self-employed woman. There's a lot of new things I'm learning all the time. But again, I think being female, what does set me back is the confidence element in earning and charging what I believe I'm worth. So I think you need to charge right. And, you know, for example, in my business, time is very important and my biggest asset. So again, instead of just remaining with the emotional side of things, I need to actually sit down and understand what is my worth, and I need to value my time from a number perspective so that when I'm engaging with clients, I'm able to charge with confidence my worth or my value or my contribution to what I need to be doing for my business. So I would say understand your worth and what you're bringing to the table, and don't be shy about what you do in terms of managing your business. What I've also learned is that you need to understand the nitty-gritties. Understand, like I said, what it costs you to run your business, what it's how much money you need to make on a monthly basis. You need to understand all the expenses, sit down and quantify it. So I often say it's the administration of running a business. It takes up time. It's not nice. Most of us would rather be out there seeing new clients and engaging with new business, but don't neglect the administration of running the business. So things like, you know, understanding the invoices, actually going through your bank statements, you might get away with it if you are salaried, but when you are running a business, you need to understand what is going on in your business. You need to set time aside, look at your bank statements, and also importantly, prepare. So again, planning becomes a critical element of what I do as a businesswoman. So I need to understand, very much like personal financial planning, understand, I mean, we're in the middle of August. I need to understand for the next month at the minimum, what are my expenses going to be? Where am I going to be spending money? And importantly, where is the money going to come from? So this again is not something that I need to be worried about end of August for the coming month. I already need to know in August what's going to happen in the month of September, and then I can focus on new business. So you need to secure but plan. Understand what is happening in your business from a money perspective and be well prepared for it. And then once you do that, you're able to get better with it. So again, don't underestimate yourself. Be confident in your business and make the money that you deserve, and then get to the planning side of things, plan, and then understand the nitty-gritties of what is going on. There's money often disappears if you don't understand where the holes and the buckets are. So you need to understand that very well.
You know, it's absolutely real, Lesego, everything you're saying for a businesswoman. And as much as there's differences between personal finances and business finances, as you've intimated, there's also the similarities around the planning, around, even planning further ahead than even a month, because, you know, there's certain things that probably need to come into the cycle, expense management, all of that. So, you know, we can definitely extrapolate that into the personal sphere as well. So thank you. Thank you for highlighting these for our listeners and for us too. You know, we're getting close to the end of our conversation. You've given us such pearls of wisdom and practical advice, and I really, really love it. And I think I'm going to put a little bit of a trick question to you towards the end here. Yeah. And my question is, what are some of the myths about women and money?
So this is quite, so there's a couple that I've come about. I think, you know, one, I think there is an assumption that all women are good with money. So
I thought you were going to say women are good with money.
So look,
because we can stretch all, it.
Yeah. Look, if you look at, like I said, if you look at the woman who's running a business on the side of the road, you know, the women are doing fantastic things with money. Not all of us are good. And where we aren't very good, I think we need to identify that and work on it. So it's definitely an area that we need to invest in if you're not. But I think in the most, women are very good with money. The other myth that I've seen is, you know, there's a misconception that women don't make a lot of money. I've seen fantastic, great women doing great money, making great money moves. So that's something that I think women, we tend to, we don't shine a lot about this quite often. And especially if you're looking at for role models, and, you know, we identify males as, you know, wealth earners, but women are doing some fantastic, are making great moves out there with their money. So some of my top clients are women, actually. So that's fantastic. Yeah. And I think it's exciting, and it's something we need to celebrate. And I think, I mean, just in passing, what I have seen, and this is a myth that I would, you know, I think we need to also openly discuss, is that, you know, we grew up thinking men, it's a man's job to take care of us. And this one is very, like, I would say, especially for the young woman, please own your money journey, own your money story. Men is not to do, it's, things are changing at a very rapid pace. It's not a man's job to take care of you financially. So you will be, I often say, you will be left very exposed if that is the situation. And I see it also with, you know, why women, if you look at gender-based violence, it's because, you know, we haven't taken ownership in terms of money. So you end up making the wrong decisions because you are financially, you can't leave because you're financially stuck, or you can't leave because you're financially not in, you're not financially independent. So don't leave this till late, because it's you will be left very exposed. So we need to own our money stories.
We need to own our money stories. Absolutely. Wow. I think those are some myths that also need some serious debunking. I think if we want to achieve financial freedom. But Lesego, as an aside, I think most women are good with money. So we may not say all women, but I think most of us are pretty good with money.
True. I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. We might not say it.
Yeah.
We might, I think we don't say it as much. We don't celebrate ourselves. We don't celebrate ourselves, but I definitely agree.
Yeah. As we like to do on the Swan Effect podcast, is end off with a parting shot or you know, some final thought. Just from my side, you know, I truly believe that we are masters of our own destiny. You know, there's a quote by Albert Ellis where he says, the best years of your life are the ones in which you decide that your problems are your own. You don't blame them on your mother, on the ecology, or the president. You know, you realize that you control your own destiny. And I think he's so right. And I think also as women, most of us need to take charge of our money. In fact, one of our previous episodes on achieving financial freedom, James Vine mentions that money is under our charge. And so it really is up to you. And I think just by listening to the podcast, you know, you've already taken the first step. So well done. I think the challenge now, for all women that are listening out there, is to continue on this journey so that you can eventually realize your dreams in achieving financial freedom.
Beautiful. Beautiful, Lou. Thank you for that. And thank, I think, you. From my side, I'm going to go a little bit more the behavioral aspect, because, you know, that's where I like to play. Mm-hmm. So I would say, ladies, it's time to kick the self-doubt to the curb. Really, it really is time, especially when it comes to your money matters. And if anything, there are support structures there. So enlist help and use some of the freely available tools to actually just get you started. As we said, it's about making it a habit to question, and more specifically about, well, what is my money doing for me? And actually, if you're not satisfied with the answer that you're getting, then it means it's time for you to get your hands dirty and actually get involved in growing your finances to the way you'd really like it to be. Lesego, I'd love it if you could end off with something on your end too.
Thank you, ladies. It's been such a pleasure. And I think, and short and sweet as well, I think, you know, having gone through the pandemic and the last year, 2 years, what I've personally learned is life is short. So I want to challenge all the ladies. I think it's exciting to be alive. It's exciting to be blessed with life. And we need to use the opportunities we are given on a daily basis to go and fetch our financial freedom. What other reason are we here for? So as we reach our goals, as we strive hard, as we work hard, let's take care of ourselves. Let's own our financial freedom. Let's ask questions. Let's inquire. Let's invest. Let's make money. It's exciting. Let's do it. We are doing it already. Let's get better at doing it. Let's share tips. Let's engage with each other. How do we grow this economy? How do we live successful lives? I'm personally learning that, you know, money is important in terms of having security, in terms of sleeping better at night. So let's go out there and get it and make it work for ourselves.
Oh, then get it. Oh, wow. I love what you said, Lesego. You know, it's exciting to be alive. And we should be owning our financial freedom. What an incredible, fun conversation that we've had. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for your advice, your passion for our industry as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Lesego.
Thank you, ladies. Thanks.
And to our listeners, we hope you found immense value in today's discussion. And of course, Arthi and I will catch you on our next episode, where we'll be unpacking the double-edged sword of debt. Until next time.
Sharing is caring.
And knowledge is power.
Time for you to be daring.
And let your money confidence flower.
Thanks for joining us. We hope you found these ideas useful.
Do subscribe, share and write a review, or send us comments. We would love to hear from you.
Swanning out for now.
Good one, Lou. Till next time, everyone. Ciao.